Well, to something now that has the head of an eagle and the body of a lion and exists only in myths and legends. But storytellers in the 21st century are still inspired by the fabulous griffin, including young Canberra writer KJ Taylor, Katie Taylor. At the age of just 23, Katie has had her second book published. The Dark Griffin is the first book, though, in her new trilogy, and she joins us now to talk about it. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Did you know a lot about griffins before you started your book about the Dark Griffin?
Well, to be honest, not really, not to start with. I decided that I was going to write about griffins, and I thought, well, it's not like I'm going to be caught out by some professor or something saying you got this detail wrong, but it's good to know about things that are already established so that you'll have some idea, and also because I often get ideas by reading about these things. So I did some reading up on griffins, and I discovered I had a lot to choose from. So I could choose all sorts of different physical looks for them. Some griffins don't even have wings.
Really? Like
someone told
me
there was...
How do they fly?
They don't. Oh. Someone told me about supposedly there's this type of griffin that's... appears in legends in Wales that doesn't have wings, it just runs really fast. And there are all the different spellings to choose from. I could give it four lion paws or two lion paws and two eagle feet or four eagle feet if I wanted to. I could give it a bird's head that was furry like in the Narnia movies. There was so much to choose from, but learning stuff about them helped give me new ideas because I... Well, the interesting thing about griffins I discovered is the word that probably sums them up is duality. So not only are they half one thing and half another, but apparently, to begin with, in early Christianity, they were looked upon as a sign of the devil because they were like a monster and also because they were, you know, sort of pagan. But later on, they became to be seen as a Christ symbol as well. So they're both.
Right. So you can have so much fun with them,
yes,
in the sense that you can
exactly.
be so creative in your own stories with how you're going to use the griffin.
And it was a happy coincidence that, you know, so the idea of two things entwined sort of turned into a theme in a way.
So is the trilogy going to feature griffins all the way through? Is that the core of the trilogy, Katie?
Oh, absolutely. Griffins will appear in all three books and in all future books as well that are set in this world. They're a vital part.
How do you, because you have created a whole new world, that's what fantasy is all about, and a place that there, you know, there's a map and the names of towns that you've created and plains and mountains and valleys and the whole thing. Where do you go for inspiration to create those worlds?
Well, I actually wasn't going to include those maps, by the way, because, minor spoiler, you won't see most of those places in the story. But my publisher said, you know, fantasy readers love maps, so we'll include them anyway, so we did. Well, so if you, it sounds to me like you're asking me where do I get my ideas from.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, we get asked that all the time.
I bet you
writers do. And I heard that a lot of us have, you know, sort of snappy stock replies. Well, as for me, I bid for my ideas on eBay.
You can say I don't know if that's the true answer.
Well, Katie. All right, I can tell you that I do often come up with ideas while I'm exercising, like when I'm on my bike or when I'm going for a walk. Pretty much always when I'm alone. I need to be alone in order to think. But I come up with really big ideas when I'm on holidays. And I came up with the idea in the first place when I was in Tasmania. And that Tasmania inspired the landscape. I didn't think that that would really matter so much other than just being an interesting thing to bring up in interviews and it just is a good way to help me visualize. But when I was at the book launch for the book last week, it was Wednesday, it was a great night. Anyway, I had one of the guests come up to me and she said, you know, I've been reading it and, you know, that's Tasmania, isn't it? And I said, yeah, how did you know? Did someone tell you? And she said, well, no, I used to live in Tasmania.
So she recognised it.
She recognised it, and I was amazed.
So did you, you wrote when you were at school, didn't you? Can you remember a time when you didn't write stories?
Well, I've always been someone who told stories. I remember my dad saying to me, you know, when I was a little kid and playing with my sister, I would always be the one coming up with the sort of plot of the game that we were playing. And when I was in primary school, I wrote little poems, little stories and things. In high school, I started trying to actually write novels. And I wrote my first one while I was there in English class. Man, I'm so glad I'm not in school anymore. My English teacher would kill me. I'm going on the radio confessing that I was writing during class.
But, well, at least you were doing it. Were you doing it in your maths class as well, or just your English class?
All my classes, actually.
All your classes, yeah. So that's an interesting thing in itself, whether school, especially high school, helps to inspire your creativity, or whether if you didn't do things such as, you know, secretly write your novel during class, whether you'd miss out on getting that.
Well, I was a real loner in high school. I didn't really talk to anyone. I was practically mute the entire time.
Why do you think?
I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was, you know, angst-ridden, and I didn't really relate to other kids my age. I related best to the teachers, in fact. You know, if you remember, when you're a teenager, you sort of feel like everything's pointless a lot of the time. Mm. And I didn't really... Yeah, writing was the thing that that sort of kept me going, so to speak. And I remember I used to think back then, I'm going to get published before I leave high school. I'm going to prove to everyone that I'm, you know, that I'm special, et cetera, et cetera, and everyone will be so impressed. It didn't work out that way.
Well, it wasn't long after you left school, though, in the scheme of things,
Not
Katie.
Long after, no, but, yeah.
And so you went to school here in Canberra, primary school and high school in Canberra,
yep.
And also uni, university here?
Yep, went to the University of Canberra. That's where we had the launch, actually. Yeah, I did a communications degree, major in creative writing, and that was a great time. I didn't just go to uni to learn. In retrospect, I realized that I also did a lot of my growing up there. I'm not going to pretend that I have finished growing up. The brain doesn't finish maturing until you're 25, but it was an important step for me, and I wrote to Dark Griffin when I was at university.
And so it's fantasy. Did you think, right, this is what I want to write about, I want to write fantasy, or, was it a calculated decision to write in that genre, or is that just the way it happened?
Well, choosing a genre rarely is a calculated thing, at least I don't think I've ever seen anyone say that it was. Most of us, we just write what interests us, and fantasy has been something that I've always enjoyed because... Well, escapism, really, and plus there's just so much that can be done with it. I mean, I don't write sci-fi because I'm not interested in technology and stuff like that, and I don't have a mechanically inclined mind, so it just doesn't really work for me, but fantasy contains all the stuff that I enjoy, and there's so much freedom that you can, so many things you can do with it.
There's a really interesting list of people at the start of the novel who you thank, Katie, and the dedication's interesting too. Tell me about that.
Oh, yes, people have asked me about both of those things. The acknowledgements was originally a really long dedication, but the publisher decided, oh, this looks like acknowledgement, so we're going to label that acknowledgements and say there's no dedication. Pick one. The people in the acknowledgements, and hopefully some of them will be listening to this at some point, that most of them aren't in Canberra. Well, if you spent any time on the internet, you might have recognized them as internet handles, because in between writing my first book and my second book, I spent quite a bit of time writing fan fiction. Just, you know, just for practice and because it's a lot of fun.
What's,
you know,
fan fiction?
Oh, it's where you take someone else's universe, like movie or book or whatever, and you write stories set in it. And so I wrote some fan fiction. And basically the people in the dedication are the people who reviewed my fan fiction and gave me advice and stuff. And I, before Dark Griffin was published, while I was writing it actually, I posted the first few chapters for them to read. And they gave me... The people there are generally the people who helped give me feedback.
Right, so some of them you would have never met in person?
I've never met any of them in person. But a lot of them are now
members
of
your fans and your critics and mm-hmm. your friends.
Yep, and they've... did a sort of... By way of thanking them as well as putting them in the acknowledgements... after I got this publishing deal, I started my own live journal community, which is like a blog, only other people can post to. And a lot of those people came over and joined. And by way of thanks, I sent them all a free copy, autographed. I sent out about 20 copies by now, mostly to the US, because there will be a US edition, but it's not coming out until next year. And I didn't think that they should have to wait.
KJ Taylor is my guest. She's the author of The Dark Griffin, which is her first book in a new fantasy trilogy. And Katie is a Canberra writer, and she's with me in the studio at 11 to 4 on 666 Drive. With the fan fiction, Katie, mm-hmm. Which other worlds did you inhabit? Whose worlds?
Other fantasy universes. I wrote a very short Twilight fanfic, actually, that was a parody. I replaced all the characters with rats.
With rats. The vampires with rats and the people with rats.
It was a joke fic, which people seem to enjoy. Oh, yes, and the dedication. You asked me about the dedication.
That's right, yes.
I thought people might be interested. Now, you're probably thinking the dedication, by the way, is for Bran, you will always be my big guy. Most people are probably thinking, oh, that must have been her boyfriend. Actually, Bran was my pet rat.
Bran is your pet rat. Was your pet rat.
The late Bran.
What happened to Bran?
Well, he was a stray rat that I rescued in someone's garden. And he was a big rat. He was the first male rat I ever had. Yeah, he was all thin and starved. And I took him home and I cared for him. He was really sweet-natured. Like, he'd obviously been someone's pet.
How did he meet his demise?
And I owned him for a few months, and, yeah, I just loved him to bits, and then one day he just suddenly died.
Oh.
I think he must have been old. But anyway, I named him after one of the characters in the book, well, not vice versa.
Right.
And I decided that I should, I decided to dedicate it to him so that he wouldn't be forgotten, because, you know, a human will be remembered, but a rat, no. And that probably sounds lame, and it is, but... whatever.
It's been lovely talking with you, Katie. Thank you so much. How far into the second book are you of the trilogy?
Oh, I finished it ages ago.
Oh, about the third?
Well, the third one is technically finished, although right now I'm doing an editorially demanded rewrite of the first section of it. You know, making it a little punchier, more action-packed and so on. But I've almost finished the sequel trilogy. And got another trilogy planned after that, and probably another one after that. So as you can see, I'm going to be a busy girl for the next few years.
Best of luck, Katie.
Thank you.
KJ Taylor, 23 years old, and her book is called The Dark Griffin. And Lon called in to say that the griffin is on the Welsh flag, and there are a lot of...
It's a dragon.
It's a, on the Welsh flag?
Yeah, it's a dragon.
Not a griffin.
I'm pretty sure it's a dragon.
Well, maybe it's one of those ones that's hard to tell, a bit of both. Anyway, there's something interesting on the Welsh flag. Thanks very much, Lon. It's 9 to 4 now here on 666 Drive. You're with Louise Maher. And coming up next, medical editor of Medical Observer magazine,